Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, January 4th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll meet Teresa Reynolds and talk about Zach Gordon and the BAM program. We'll get the Juno Economic Development Council's year-end preview with Brian Holst. M.K. McNaughton will highlight art classes for the new year at Sketch Studio. Dwayne Mays will talk Medicaid and about a Juno forum where participants can influence its future in the state. And Brian Bezanek will give us Toastmasters 101. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 30 in Gustavus, 37 in Hoonah, and 28 at the Juno Weather Office.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Muscogee Creek Nation welcomed its new principal chief, James Floyd, and other officials during an inauguration ceremony Saturday. KGOU's Brian Hartzinski reports.
Floyd is the retired director of a Veterans Administration Medical Center in Muscogee and has also worked with the Indian Health Services.
I, James Floyd, do solemnly swear.
After Muscogee Creek Nation Chief Justice Andrew Adams administered the oath of office, Floyd stressed tribal unity during his inaugural address.
I also know that I am here because of the many supporters and voters who may have held differing views, yet have come together to work for a better Muscogee Nation. This does not mean we will always agree on everything, but we can agree that we need to be better.
Floyd defeated George Tiger by an almost 2-1 margin. Allegations surfaced last year that Tiger signed a contract in 2009 with a casino that would have competed with the Creek Nation's own facility. Tiger also received a no-confidence vote from the tribe's National Council, and there was also a grassroots petition calling for his impeachment. For National Native News, I'm Brian Hartzinski in Norman, Oklahoma.
The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes in Montana began the new year by selecting officers Friday. Standing Chairman Vernon Finley was selected to serve another two-year term in leading the 10-person governing body of the tribes. Other officer positions were picked and new council members were sworn in. The election was held in December. The tribe points to a water compact in Congress as a key issue in 2016, as well as economic development and resource management. Educators say students in the Alaska Native community of Nanwalek are benefiting from iPads they received a few months ago through a program to bring technology into schools in low-income areas. KBBI's Daisha Eaton reports.
In September, Nanwalek schools started their year by distributing iPads to all 70-plus students. The kids immediately started making videos of themselves, like this one where kindergarten and first grade students stand in their classroom practicing phonemes, sounding out words. And in the process, Nancy Klein, principal at Nanwalek, says something unexpected happened.
The kids can't quit watching themselves on the videos.
Nanwalek only got high-speed internet about a year ago. The kids in the remote Alaska Native village across Kachemak Bay from Homer, Klein says, just weren't used to seeing themselves on film.
In the process of watching themselves over and over with the films that they're making, they're, of course, learning the sound.
The school was the only in Alaska selected to receive the iPads through the program, and one of only 114 in the entire country. Klein says in addition to the younger students recording themselves reading and then listening back, grade school students are creating their own books. She says they're also using the tablets for Native cultural and language learning.
We also have been able to integrate them into the Sukstun language retention learning, and we're working on that more and more. Right now, the teacher has created some historical books, so she's taken old photos from their culture and put Sukstun titles and captions to them. And so the kids are getting that piece as well with the iPads.
Inspiring student learning through new means, Klein says, was the vision the school had when they applied for the ConnectEd grant. She just never imagined it would happen so naturally or so fast. Klein says the school has a project in the works where students will eventually use their iPads to record interviews with elders. I'm Daisha Eaton.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, January 4th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by the recreation coordinator at Zach Gordon Youth Center, Teresa Reynolds. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. So we're here to talk about the BAM program, which you told me stands for Body and Mind After School.
Yes, yeah. After school activities.
And these are at the middle schools, right?
Yes, Floyd Dryden and Zonta Kahini.
What inspired these? You said they've been going on for about 3 years now?
Right. So those after-school hours from like 3 to 5 are the most time when you can see kids not having activities or chances to get engaged. So there's just definitely an interest and need to provide after-school activities for kids to of all interest and all activity levels. So just kind of started off with having different variety of classes, cooking and archery and different things. And now we're moving into our fourth year with it, and kids really enjoy and get that chance to just show up and be engaged and have some fun.
Excellent. So middle schoolers, do they get out at like 3:30?
3:05.
3:05. And then they'll go to one of these programs for how long?
Until 4:25. Monday through Thursday, there's after-school activity buses that pick up at 4:30. So transportation is provided, and the kids don't have to worry about coordinating rides or anything.
Excellent. What have been some of your more popular after-school programs so far?
Definitely cooking. I think there's a lot of kids nowadays that are really being interested in cooking and trying new foods, which is awesome to see. Earlier in the fall, we had an outdoor Discovery Games activity with Discovery Southeast, and that was really awesome and special, especially in Juneau. So outdoor, we've had some music things. John Michael has done some hip-hop introduction 101 stuff, and that was really cool. And, yeah, so cooking, music, outdoor things, all things that can get kids
cool.
Excited.
Among other things today, we want to talk about possibly finding some more volunteers and folks who can teach these after-school programs or facilitate them, might be a better way to say that. What comes to mind as something that you might need?
Definitely interest. What we really like for BAM is that it's a community-based focus and model. That Juneau's great to have this welcoming small community that really give a lot to their kids and all their community members. So anybody that's interested in wanting to get engaged and just work with some youth for an hour and a half after school and have some fun.
And would you ask that the volunteers do this Monday through Thursday or maybe once a week? How does that work?
Well, we're really flexible on what we can offer. So if you're available once a week for 2 or 3 weeks, we can find something for you to do. We do like to have our activities be kind of session-based, so I offer more than one. So if you are able to donate your time if 1 week is available and you want to do something once a day for those 4 days, or if you're available over spaced-out time. It's just that after school from 3:05 to 4:25. That's our biggest time.
Okay, and this will probably go into May and then, of course, take the summer off.
Right.
And then start up again in the fall?
Exactly.
Okay, if somebody wants more information, where should they go?
You can call either 907-796-5811 for more information. And then we also have a Juneau After School Coalition website, which is juneauafterschool.com.
Okay. What else would you like to share about this program, Teresa?
I would just like to say that I get a lot out of it. I think what kids really, especially at middle school age, when you're impressionable and you're going through so many changes, just that opportunity to have an adult really interested in, one, providing you with something fun to do, and two, just that chance to get to know you over a period of time, ask how your day's going. I've seen a lot of growth in development in these kids just throughout this past half of the semester, and just that that's so rewarding. And I think if that interests you at all, then give us a call and we can make something happen to get you connected with some cool kids.
Excellent. Can you give us that phone number once more, please?
Yes, 796-5811.
And the website?
JunoAfterSchool.com.
And I bet it's pretty easy to sign up once you get there, right?
Yeah.
Or talk to you.
Yes, we're really willing and very flexible to get people involved.
All right, Teresa. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott.
Support comes from the Juno Artist Gallery, featuring locally handmade jewelry, sculpture, paintings, and more. Open until 7 p.m., 7 days a week during the holiday season. More information at JunoArtistsGallery.com.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 4th. It's about 14 minutes past the hour. Scott Burton, your host, and joining me now in the studio, he's the ED of the Juno Economic Development Council. Mr. Brian Hulse, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. How are you today?
I am great. It's a beautiful afternoon, isn't it?
It is wonderful.
All right. So the Juno Economic Development Council, Brian, tell us sort of when it came to be.
The Juno Economic Development Council was formed in 1987. It was an initiative of the Juno Chamber of Commerce and the City Assembly. And it came about, it's a nonprofit. We're an independent organization though we have this special relationship with the city and borough of Juneau, we're chartered as their economic development arm. The assembly appoints our board, but other than that, we're an independent nonprofit organization.
Okay. And what does sort of day-to-day operations look like for you guys?
Well, there are, at the Juneau Economic Development Council, we focus on like five key things. The first off is, you know, how to make Juneau a great capital city. Being in the capital city, state government, state employment, that's the biggest driver in our economy. The second area that we focus on is strengthening key regional industries. What we know about economic development is that go to your strengths. Work on and support those things that people in your community are already investing in or already good at. So that's tourism, that's research, that's the seafood industry, that's arts. Those are all areas that when we look at the numbers, we have concentrated employment in those areas. The third area that we focus on is entrepreneurship and small business. We have a revolving loan fund. If people are interested in getting a loan, we're a resource for them. We also provide some technical assistance as well for businesses. And then our fourth area is what we call developing talent. And we do a lot of that, of our developed talent work is really focused on science, technology, engineering, math, K-12. We take a really long view on developing the capacity to be innovative, to be able to solve problems in our economy. And so as an economic development group, it's not that common, but we focus on that K-12 space for science, STEM, we call it, science, technology, engineering, and math, with a special nod to the importance of the arts in giving us that creative mind. And then our fifth area is really sort of delivering data to the community.
Okay. Speaking of that, how about some highlights from 2015? What are some things you're proud of, some things you worked on?
Yeah. I mean, 2015 was a good year for JADC. It's been a steady year for Juneau's economy. I can't say it's been a great year, but we've held our own despite some pressures to the contrary from government spending primarily, which has been slowing down our economy. But the private sector continues to do well. As an organization, we start off each year with the Innovation Summit, and I hope we can talk a little bit more about next year's Innovation Summit. That's coming up just a couple weeks from now. But last year, we start off with this event, which brings together business leaders and community leaders from around the region, around the state even, to talk about the main issues around creating an innovative economy. And it's a lot of fun. We bring in people from outside the country, outside the state, to add perspectives. A new program this year has been the AmeriCorps program. So the VISTA volunteers, AmeriCorps volunteers, are a part of JADC is now the host organization. So we act as the organization that helps bring these members to our community that are volunteers for a year of service, and we help connect them to host agencies themselves. And we have several placements, and if you go to our website, you can find opportunities to serve for a year your community as a volunteer. We also have our robotics program. We've had a great year in that it's been we've had more participation statewide in this program than ever. I mentioned on our talent program that JADC focuses on K-12 STEM education. In order to be able to have the impact that we do, we actually operate this program at a statewide level here from Juneau in 25 school districts around Alaska. A real highlight from last year is that a high school team in Fairbanks won the world championships in robotics.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I mean, we can't take credit for the kids, but we take credit for the fact that it was part of the organization, that effort that we support. So we're really proud of them and proud of our sponsors. Alaska Airlines and BP have been really powerful in that support. That is 100%, that program, 100% supported by private sector contributions, which is really, really great. We've connected at the local level. We have a program, an after-school program for Juneau kids that need support or can benefit from support in STEM education in coordination with the Juneau School District. We've also had some great success with some of our business groups. The the renewable energy cluster, we have these working groups that are organized around these industries. The renewable energy cluster has put a great emphasis on the application of electrical, of using electricity for vehicles. And so we've seen, Juneau has one of the highest per capita number of electric vehicle charging stations in the nation, which is exciting, which is encouraging people in Juneau to bring electric vehicles to Juneau. We're seeing that number grow month by month. It's really, really exciting to see. We see Gastineau Gliding is bringing in the first electric bus to Juneau this spring, which is going to be part of their tour operations. And Tongass Electric Rain is bringing the first electric boat to Juneau, which will be doing whale watching tours this summer. Very exciting, and that work is. I think these entrepreneurs would recognize that the work of the working group has enabled them to sort of dive into that.
Wow, you sound very busy.
There's a lot, and there are more things, but those are some highlights.
How many of you are there?
There's one of me. Just out of fun of you. I just got back from a three-week vacation, the really long flight, so that was probably only funny to me. There's a staff of eight at the Juneau Economic Development Council and a board of directors, which drives the organization, sets our policy, and we follow their lead.
Okay. I suspect that a lot of these very cool programs were conceived at the Innovation Summit, right?
Well, I think, yes, absolutely. The Innovation Summit is an opportunity to try to identify opportunities and help people to network to pursue those opportunities.
So this is on February 8th and 9th. Who would benefit from going to this, would you say?
It is an opportunity for people with ideas about where they see opportunities for Juneau's economy or the regional economy. It is a great place for policymakers. We have, some of our speakers bring, for example, Christian Kettles is coming. He's a professor at the School of Competitiveness at the University of Harvard, and he is all about, his work is all around how can regions be competitive in world markets. And so any business leader or any policy leader that has a vision of competing beyond just a local market would really benefit from his insights into how regional economies grow. If you're really focused on the local, we have Michael Schumann who's coming. Michael Schumann is also an economist, but his focus is exclusively on microeconomy, on what can you do in a small community. In fact, his focus, a lot of his energy is focused on communities much smaller than Juneau. So we're excited to see that partnering with Clinkett Haida Central Council and Ha'ani in trying to make sure that people in some of our smaller communities also come to attend the Innovation Summit to help. It's so challenging to develop a really small economy because even economies the size of Juneau, at least we can grab on to the stronger currents around the seafood industry or tourism. It's easier for us to do as a larger economy. In a small economy, you have fewer options. And it's much more strategic and challenging to be able to identify where do you fit into the bigger picture.
How does one register for the Innovation Summit?
You can go to our website, jedc.org/innovation, and please register today. Today is the last day of our early bird discount. So we encourage people to sign up early. We have great sign-up so far, and it's a I think the discounted fee is like $260, and then the full rate starting tomorrow is $295.
Okay. Brian Holst, he's the executive director at the Juneau Economic Development Council, talking about highlights from 2015 at the JEDC and the upcoming Innovation Summit on February 8th and 9th. More information at jedc.org. Brian, anything else you want to add?
No, thank you, Scott. Nothing more to add. I'm excited about the Innovation Summit. I hope people can come in and join us on February 8th and 9th.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Hard hit, pocketbook, empty as my mind. I'm running out of money, but I got loads of time, loads of time. You got money, baby. You got everything. You got everything you need. But you can't always get a money back guarantee. None. What you got in your pocket, boy? What you hanging on to? You ain't got nothing. There ain't nothing you can do. Nothing you can do now. You got money, baby. You got everything. You got everything you need. But you can't always get a money back guarantee. None. Lost in your skyline, hours change to years. Turning money into minutes, I hope your dollars don't turn to tears. Don't turn to tears now. But you got money. You got everything. You got everything you need. But you can't always get a money back.
Support for this station comes from the Treadwell Ice Arena, located at 105 Savico Road in Douglas. Treadwell Ice Arena is open 7 days a week, offering drop-in open skating, hockey, and a variety of special events. We are the proud home of the Crimson Bears hockey team, youth, adult, hockey, and figure skating programs. More information at juno.org/parksrec/ice-rink or call 586-0410.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 4th. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 28 minutes after the hour. Now in the studio is artist and teacher M.K. McNaughton. Welcome to the show,
Thank
M.K.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So you are the owner, operator, and artist at Sketch Studio.
I am.
Which is located by...
It's right behind Kenny's Walk and Teriyaki on the corner of Front and Main. It's another landmark is the Before I Die billboard. So in the back of the parking lot by the propane tanks is my little magic studio.
We could write on the Before I Die sign that we should take classes with MK at the studio.
That's a great idea.
Or even starting this Wednesday, adult oil painting.
Yes, I have two classes starting this Wednesday. I have kids mixed media, which is perfectly timed for the middle school kids and elementary kids getting out from all the schools. So 3:45 kids from the who are going to middle school can take the bus downtown, the activities bus, and it gets them downtown at 3:30. They can bring a snack and hang out. So 3:45 to 5:15, kids mix media. And I have a couple spaces left in that. I have a couple elementary and a couple of middle school kids signed up, which is what I love. I love having a mix of both ages.
That's great. And I remember talking to you about these before, and you mentioned that you wait to meet your students before you figure out what you're going to make that week.
Yes. Well, I always have lots of activities planned, and I like to have three activities for each week and a couple extras in my back pocket just in case. But then I meet the kids and find out what their personalities are. I was doing a sculptural class in the fall, but the kids in it really love charcoal drawing. Excuse me, losing my voice. And I love charcoal drawing, so I made sure I incorporated some of that into every class. We started on the easels doing charcoal. So depending on the kids, if there are some kids who really are tactile and want to take things apart and put things together, and usually for it's good for all of us to do a mix.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the adult oil painting class too?
Yes. My February session is full, but there are spaces in the January session, which is coming up this Wednesday, and it's 6 to 8:30, and I supply all the materials you need, multiple canvases, including a large one, and we do warm-up exercises, and I have a lot of really fun ones planned. I don't want to give them away because I want to trick you into doing them, but charcoal, I will start with a traditional charcoal warm-up, and then we'll move into doing oil painting right after that. And then we'll also experiment with some watercolors for warm-up and some ink drawing as warm-ups. But we'll do a warm-up each week, and we'll also do a four-week long-term painting, a big one, so people can bring their own image. If you have a favorite scene, a favorite landscape, or you just find a picture that you really like, you can bring that. And I have lots of images in my studio. But it's nice when often people like to paint something that's meaningful, like your favorite vacation spot in Hawaii from last year or your favorite beach in Juneau.
Thinking of both classes, either the kids mixed media or the adult oil painting, what kind of folks do you find that enjoy these most?
Well, I think that's one of the things I love about my studio is the people that find me are really excited to take a class. It's not a class anyone has to take for a requirement or for daycare. So I'm lucky that the people who come are really excited about it. And I have an equal mix of boys and girls in the kids class too. I think maybe boys don't find art in school as much. In middle school, there isn't as much opportunity. So they find me outside of school, which is great. I love that, being a mom of two boys myself. But so I have a nice mix of ages and genders. And I have kids who are just excited to learn and experiment. And the multi-age is nice because they encourage each other in different ways. And then the adults who come are a huge range of people who've never painted before or people who have lots more experience than I do. But one of the nice things about coming to my studio is that you can set everything up, use my supplies, and then leave the mess. I'm there to set up and clean up for you. And it's hard to oil paint in your home. Oil paints are stinky, and I have good ventilation, and I have everything you need. It's costly. So
it's like going out to dinner, but going out for art.
Right. Exactly. It is. And then the adults encourage each other too with it. I think I've heard from people who are brand new to painting that they've really appreciated being in the class with other people who are experienced. It isn't intimidating. It's encouraging because the students learn from each other. And really, I like to focus on problem solving. If something's not working in a painting, why is that? Not that something is good or bad, but how can we improve it?
Sounds like fun. I bet it's a very supportive environment.
You should come, Scott.
I would love to. And a great atmosphere. Thinking of all those folks out there who thought for their New Year's resolution that they want to do something more creative. What a great place to start, right?
Thank you. Yes, well, it starts this Wednesday. And if people are interested, they can email or call. And my info's on my website, which is mkmacnaughton.com, M-K-M-A-C. Naughton, N-A-U-G-H-T-O-N, mkmacnaughton.com. And there's info about the classes there and my contact info. So, and the classes are small. My studio is small, so they're limited to 6 adults and 8 kids.
Okay. Well, MK, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks.
And again, your website, mkmacnaughton.
mkmacnaughton, M-A-C.com.
Great. We'll see you in class.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. The peace of the vast Guyanan jungle is abruptly broken. A herd of nervous cattle? A distant motorboat? the civilizing roar of chainsaws. It's the dawn chorus of male capuchin birds, one of the most bizarre members of one of the most bizarre bird families in South America, the Cotinga. Named for their tawny cinnamon plumage with a prominent neck ruff and bald head, capuchin birds gather in the treetops to display each morning and evening. The singing male bows forward, then suddenly stretches to his full length, raising a monk-like cowl of feathers around his naked blue-gray head. The display grounds, or leks, are used over and over, year after year. Some stands of ancient trees may have witnessed the spectacle for centuries. The unmistakable, apparently irresistible noise attracts the female capuchin birds, which jostle each other ruthlessly in the quest to get close to the studliest of the displaying males. That alpha male with the best singing technique will be the only one to mate. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from the Copper Whale Inn, located in downtown Anchorage, near business and arts, activities and events, with breakfast served daily. The Copper Whale Inn. Reservations online at copperwhale.com.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 4th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host, and it's about 25 minutes until the top of the hour. Joining me now in the studio is Brian Bezanek. Thank you for coming to the show, Brian.
Thank you for having me come down.
And you are part of Toastmasters here in Juno. Give us an outline of what that looks like.
Well, Toastmasters is a public speaking and leadership course that people have joined to try and improve themselves for one way or another, and end up probably staying, and because they're having fun and because they've learned so much more in different reasons of their life.
Okay. And were you telling me on the phone that you have three different branches here in Juneau?
Yes, we do have three clubs here in town. We meet on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The Monday and Wednesday clubs meet midday, one in the federal building and one in, I want to say, the health consortium building next to the legislature building.
Okay.
And the Tuesday morning one is for the early birds. We meet at 6:15 in the morning next to the St. Paul's Church.
And, Brian, how long have you been involved?
I've been a member of Toastmasters for just about 7 years now.
And going back 7 years, may I ask what inspired you to join?
For the longest time, I kept telling my boss I wanted to get better at public speaking. And for about 5 years before that, every one of my performance reviews, he'd say you should join Toastmasters. Well, I finally listened, and I'm kicking myself now because I'm wondering where I could actually be with my life if I'd actually listened to him 5 years before that.
Wow, wow. What are some of the things you've gleaned from your time?
Well, I originally had joined to improve my public speaking, but I found that there was so many more leadership things that I've picked up on how to effectively run a meeting, how to give effective feedback to coworkers, how to organize and lead contests and clubs.
Wow. That's interesting to hear, and I saw that on the international website, too, is that it's more than just public speaking. I think a lot of people, when they think of Toastmasters, they just think of public speaking, but like you just said, it's about communication and leadership as well. So if somebody wanted to get involved, somebody wanted to take the advice that your boss gave you a long time ago, if they want to improve one of these facets in their life, how should they do that?
Just show up to a meeting. They're generally advertised wherever you can find us, find any of the clubs worldwide, from the club web or the international website, toastmasters.org. And that'll lead you to the nearest clubs and what times and days they meet. Most clubs are open. Some are closed, which means they're company only. But all the three here in town are open and welcome to visitors. Just show up. You'll be welcomed with open arms. We'll give you a chair and told you can join in or just listen for the first meeting or two if you want. There really is no pressure to join. And it's a complete blast. I enjoy the Tuesday morning one because I keep going back because I don't know what everyone's going to say. And I am completely wound up and energized and ready to go to work right after that.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Do you remember the first sort of speech you gave or the first activity you did once you joined?
Generally, the first thing they have you do when you join, the first speech you give is called an icebreaker. And it's a small 4 to 6 minute speech. And I know that sounds long, but it's a speech and you talk about yourself. It's a way to introduce yourself to the club. And it's a way for them to get to know you a little bit more, and it gives them sort of a baseline on where you are speaking-wise.
Okay. Can you give us that website once more, please?
It is toastmasters.org. Or you can get a hold of, that's probably the simplest way, but if you need to get a hold of me, my telephone number is 723-7526.
And let's say we have a listener out there and they're on the fence. They're still a little tentative. They don't want to go, but they know they need to get better at one of these. What would you say to them?
This is the best opportunity you're going to have because this is a safe and learning environment. We are not there to puff ourselves up by making other people look worse.
Brian Beznik, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac from Monday. It's the 4th of January, 2016. It's the birthday of the historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, born in Brooklyn, 1943, author of biographies of Lincoln and Lyndon Johnson, her grandparents, Irish immigrants. She got out of college, and in 1967, she went to Lyndon Johnson's White House, a White House fellow assigned to the Oval Office, shortly after she'd written an article for the New Republic in which she criticized Johnson's role in the war and outlined a plan for his removal as president. She became close to Johnson, however. He asked her to help him write his memoirs. She came out with a book in 1977, Lyndon Johnson and the American Dream, and went on to write Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln. Doris Kearns Goodwin, who said, "The great thing about the 19th century is that all these people kept diaries. They wrote letters. Somehow they're running the Civil War during the day, and they go home and write five-page letters to their wives and their children, or write these voluminous diaries, and that gives you a more intimate sense." It's the anniversary of the Euro, 1999. On this day, 11 European countries agreed to a common currency. The Euro replaced the French franc, the German mark, the Italian lira, and so forth. Sweden, Denmark, and Great Britain opted not to use it. It's the birthday of Sir Isaac Newton, 1643, in Woolsthorpe, England, whose first scientific achievement was the invention of a reflecting telescope. In 1686, he published his Principia, which overturned nearly everything mankind had believed about the universe up to that point. He proved that the celestial bodies were governed by the same laws of physics as objects on Earth, and he established the three laws of motion, the first stating that objects at rest tend to remain at rest, and objects in motion tend to remain in motion unless they are acted upon by an external force. And it's the birthday of Jakob Grimm, the elder of the brothers Grimm, born in Hanau, Germany, 1785. He and his brother volunteered to help some friends gather oral folk tales for a research project, and the Grimms went on to publish them in book form. It was called Children's and Household Tales. It came out in 1812. The collection was later renamed Grimm's Fairy Tales and included many stories, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Rumpelstiltskin, and Rapunzel, which were much more violent, much scarier than the versions we know are. Jakob Grimm went on to study language, published a book of German grammar, and studied how different languages are related to each other. Here's a poem for today by Hal Sirovitz, Why There Are No More Miracles. God would perform miracles in the old days, Father said, but nowadays, if he set a bush on fire like he did for Moses, The fire department would rush to put it out. The newspapers would send out photographers. There'd be an investigation. A reward would be given to help find the arsonist. Some innocent person would get blamed. God has enough people believing in him. Why does he need all that commotion for the sake of a few more? Upon by Hal Cerovitz, Why There Are No More Miracles, from his collection Father Said, published by Soft Skull Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, personalized brain training developed by neuroscientists to challenge memory and problem-solving through online games, Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, January 4th. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 14 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining us now on the phone, he's the Director of Senior and Disability Services for the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, Mr. Duane Mays. Welcome to the show, Duane.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So we're going to be talking about a forum that's coming up here this Thursday. And it's about Medicaid and affecting change or, possible change here in the state. You want to tell us more about that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So the forum that we are holding in Juneau on Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. is going to be over at Centennial Hall in the Hickel Room, is a requirement that we need to pursue if we're going to explore this other option that currently exists within the Social Security Act around home and community-based services. So we currently have that, but it is called the 1915C option. And that system has been in place for close to 30 years. And we draw down about, for every dollar that we spend in terms of home and community-based services, 50 cents of that is from the federal government. So we've had that in place for about 30 years. And the program is about supporting our seniors and people with disabilities to remain within their community. And so it's avoiding at all, as much as possible, having those individuals placed into a nursing home or into an institution at a cost that's much more significant. So it's about integrating people within their communities. The option that we're looking at, specific to the Social Security Act, is referred to as 1915K, and it will give us an additional 6% federal match. So when you look at the size of our program and the amount of money that we spend, close to $500 million or more, 6% can make a difference, a big difference in terms of additional federal dollars that we can bring into the system. So it's supporting our home and community-based services program by bringing in an additional 6% federal match from the federal government. And we're required, by exploring this option, we're required to meet with the public to discuss that, to engage them in the process. It's a requirement of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So this Thursday event is exactly that. It's us going out around the state to hold these forums with the community to talk about what that really means, and to gather input from the public.
Okay, who specifically would you say would benefit from attending this forum on Thursday night?
I would say, first and foremost, seniors. We're an aging state, there was a day where we had a lot of young people in the state, but that's changed over the last 20 to 30 years. Many of us are staying. So it's our senior population and maybe seniors that are starting to struggle and to maintain their own self-care. So our senior population. People with disabilities, specifically developmental disabilities or physical disabilities, if they're listening and they want to provide input, they should be there as well. So our vulnerable populations, when I say vulnerable, would be those populations that are struggling to maintain their own self-care and they need a little bit of assistance. Much of that is covered through these options that I just talked about.
Okay. At forums that you've had in the past, what's some of the feedback that you hear from these populations? What do they want?
Well, first, we always start out these forums by talking about our fiscal climate. And we know that the price of oil is significantly less than what it was a year or two ago. And I haven't looked as of today, but it's hovering around $30 a barrel. There was a time where it was $110 or more a barrel, and that really paid for state government. And so the fiscal crisis that we're currently in, really, I think it does push us to be a bit more creative to look to draw down additional federal dollars. And that's why we're looking at the K option. So I think, simply put, it's supporting people within their communities. It's bringing in additional federal dollars. And these forums that we've had throughout the state, I think most people get it. So when we talk about the fiscal climate, they understand that. So they're fairly supportive of what we're trying to do. So I guess first and foremost, most people understand that we got to do something going forward.
Okay. So this is going to be Thursday at Centennial Hall in the Hickle Room from 6 to 8. And, Duane, if somebody wants more information or wanted to sort of prepare for this more, where should they go?
So if you go to the State of Alaska website, then navigate over to the Department of Health and Social Services, and then click on Senior and Disability Services. Right there on the front of our page is what we refer to as it's the Inclusive Community Council, ICC. If you click on that, there will be a menu of past forums in terms of what they said. There will be agendas, and there will be information there specific to these options that we're just talking about. So much of what we are doing is there in that link.
And does one need to register for this?
No.
Okay.
No, just show up for this Thursday event. So far to date, we have had roughly six or seven forums throughout the state. They've been well attended, and I think radio has been a great piece in getting the word out.
Well, thank you. Duane Mays, he's the Director of Senior and Disability Services with the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Any last thoughts, Duane? Are we missing anything?
No, I think, first of all, thank you for this opportunity to just put the word out. I appreciate it.
No problem. Okay, well, we'll see you on Thursday from 6 to 8 in the Hickle Room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into A Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on A Juno Afternoon, Beth Weigel will be on the show and talking about upcoming library activities. We'll get a preview of Perseverance Theater's worldwide premiere of Our Voices Will Be Heard. We'll find out about this weekend's Jump Society Film Festival, and we'll talk with Sunny Haight and Donna Knight Statton about Thursday's Compassionate Friends Meeting. Those interviews, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more, live at 3 on KTOO and repeated at 4 on KRNN and online via KTOO.org. Take a look at the weather here. Forecast calls for mostly clear skies tonight with some patchy fog, lows 16 to 31 with light winds. Tuesday, sunny, highs 28 to 35. Northeast wind, 10 to 20 miles per hour. On Wednesday, the forecast calls for sunny conditions, highs around 32. And northwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts getting up to around 35. Thursday, sunny again, highs around 31. Friday, partly cloudy, highs around 31. And even going into Saturday, mostly cloudy. Sunday, mostly cloudy, highs around 32. I think this might be the first forecast I've ever read without any mention of precipitation. Currently 30 degrees at the Juneau Airport. Thanks for tuning in to A Juneau Afternoon. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same frequency. Thank you.